Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And inviting someone back to the show who, Bill, you didn't get a chance to meet last time.
I did not.
Diana Rauner is here, president of the Ounce of Prevention Fund, first lady of Illinois. Last time you came up, you were with Mike Leonard.
Yes, we were doing our Share Your Words event. Which
mine
was
feisty.
Fun.
I shared my word as feisty because that's what I am.
Yeah. That's a good word. Feisty's a good one.
Now, you are here. We're going to talk about this. You will be speaking at the Kennedy Forum. In a nutshell, tell us about the Kennedy Forum.
So the Kennedy Forum is a tremendous organization that is devoted to raising awareness about mental health and bringing really mental health issues to the forefront, and just in a way that allows everyone to understand that these are common and approachable and solvable challenges for everyone. I'm fortunate to have an opportunity to be on a panel that's going to talk about early childhood mental health. And most people don't think about mental health issues as being something that happens in early childhood. But we all know that early childhood is a time of tremendous growth and development. And I often say that developing is basically a process of dysregulation and re-regulation. So everything's hard, learning to walk, learning to talk, sharing toys.
It's not fun to share, be honest. Well, it really isn't, you have to.
It takes practice. And so it's normal for children to have to develop skills when they're very, very young. And of course, everybody develops skills by learning from teachers, from parents, from caregivers. And some children have it harder than others, either because of their temperament or, very importantly, children who are in traumatic environments, surrounded by community violence, parents with depression or mental health issues, stress and trauma in the family. And we know, again, unfortunately, that mental health challenges are prevalent across our populations. Everybody has challenges at various points. But on the other hand, we also know that stress and family trauma and community violence can, particularly for young children, can really lead to challenges in development that then, of course, have consequences for how they develop and the opportunities that they have in school.
When we were growing up, you know, it's funny, years later I find out that my grandmother battled anxiety and depression, but no one knew about it and everybody swept that under the rug. And I have a little bit of anxiety. We have ADHD in our family. And, you know, this all comes from your roots.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, temperament is a big part of this, genetics, temperament, and, you know, circumstances as well. And I think one of the most important things is acknowledging that for all of us, we have to have a growth mindset. You know, we want to get better at everything that helps us cope and survive in the world. And mental health skills, social emotional skills are really things that with acknowledgement and time and preparation, we really can help children to be better at them and get the treatment that they need.
What's your ultimate goal with this? If everything went the way you hope it goes, what are you hoping to accomplish here?
Well, what I'm particularly hoping is that we can level the playing field for the most at-risk kids. So, you know, one of the things that people don't know very much about is that preschool children are expelled from school at a rate far higher than kindergarten through 12th grade kids.
Expelled?
Expelled.
For what?
Well, kicking, biting, scratching. I mean, little kids are aggressive by nature, right? And kids who are exposed to violence or exposed to trauma are have a harder time managing their emotions. And a lot of teachers don't know how to handle that. And so children get expelled from childcare. Now, just imagine what happens if you're a three-year-old boy and you get expelled from childcare.
Where do you go?
Well, that's the thing. It's not a pretty picture. And then we're talking about those same children going into elementary school and not having had preschool experiences that help them be successful in elementary school. More likely to be expelled or to be held back and be less successful. And of course, this disproportionately affects boys, no surprise, and disproportionately affects children of color. So what we find, again, is that our most vulnerable children are less likely to get the kinds of supports that they need. And so that's really the biggest focus.
And can your average child rebound from that? Once you're three or four and you get expelled, you're always kind of branded as the problem child, right?
Well, you're expelled probably because you're doing things, behaviors that are not socially productive.
Yeah.
And if nobody coaches you on how to do it better, you're just going to keep doing what you've been doing. And the unfortunate problem is the bigger you get, the scarier you get, and the harder it is for you to
unlearn those things. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's okay to talk about mental health, and that, you know, there's always something brewing in somebody else's house that you're unaware of. But I'm telling you, that perfect family is not perfect.
Absolutely. There's no such thing.
There really isn't.
Absolutely.
And which is it Patrick Kennedy who's so much involved in this?
This is Patrick Kennedy's cause. And as you know, he's, I think, struggled with mental health issues his whole life. And I think really giving a voice to these issues and expressing them as these are chronic health situations similar to chronic health, physical health challenges.
You said a little while ago, Diana, that it's much more prevalent in boys than girls. It is, but why is it?
Well, you know, I think some of that has to do, it's a good question. I think some of that has to do with the way the social expectations we have of boys and girls.
Yeah.
There are differences in, you know, behavior styles between boys and girls that are, you know, we always say they're more within group differences than between group differences. So we don't want to categorize boys as this way and that way. But it is true that some boys are more rambunctious, they're more aggressive, and those are all good things as long as somebody's working with them to help them work within the expectations of school.
Right.
And that includes teachers. I think it was Time Magazine that did a big article on how boys are treated differently in school. And I just know in my kids' school, one of my sons will say, you know, there's a bunch of girls talking in class, and the teacher kind of laughs with them and says, okay, let's wrap this up and get back to work. When the boys are talking, it's a completely different command to them.
That's interesting. And it's true. Most of our teachers are women.
That's what it is. I never thought about that in elementary school. Bill, think back to when you went to school. Majority of them.
Only a couple.
We had all women when I was in K through 5.
First through 8th.
And in early childhood education, it's almost all women.
Yep.
There are almost no men. And so, again, that's a challenge as well for boys trying to, you know, just find role models for how they should behave.
Sure. Sure.
It's a crazy world in which we live, and we're trying to make sense of all of it. So the Kennedy Forum is happening Tuesday, December 6th. I know it's a little far out in advance, but you can get tickets. They are still available. This is free, isn't it?
Yes, this is free. You just have to register.
You're not going to make a lot of money on this, Diane. I hope you know that.
No, that's all right. This is a labor of love.
All right.
And this is thekennedyforum.org, thekennedyforum.org. That's where you go for tickets. Ounce of Prevention, that's an organization that helps to prepare children for success in school and life. How long have you been with Ounce of Prevention?
I've been affiliated with the Ounce for about 16 years now.
Look at that.
First as a board member and then as a staff member and president for the last 5 years.
Are you seeing some differences in 16 years?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest differences is people realize how important early education and early experiences are for brain growth and for healthy development. So we've seen great awareness and better attention to these issues. And certainly in the area of infant mental health and early childhood mental health, one of the best things that's happened in the last few years is the development of what are called early childhood mental health consultants. These are coaches that help go into classrooms and help teachers deal with those spirited, problematic, challenging children so that those children don't get expelled. It's a very, very effective way to prevent expulsions. So these kinds of new ways of working, I think, are big changes that we're pretty excited about.
Don't you think there are still people listening right now going, oh, yeah, you need these coaches for infants. Suck it up, behave, you know, smack the kid and tell them to behave. There's still a lot of people that think that way. And when you talk about these mental health coaches and stuff for young people, they're like, we don't need that, but we do.
Absolutely. And you know, parents need coaching too, because a lot of parents, you know, for better or for worse, weren't necessarily raised with the most progressive parenting styles. And we've learned a lot about, for example, what corporal punishment does for children. It's not good. And helping parents understand there are other ways to manage their frustrations and to control their children's behavior. We all parent the way we were parented, unless we've had a lot of therapy or a lot of coaching. And so giving people an opportunity to learn about how to be a better parent, which everyone wants to do. Everyone wants to be a good parent and make, you know, do the right thing for their children. But a lot of people don't know how to. And I think everyone needs help at any point. And it's one of the reasons that we're so invested in home visiting for young children and their families, because we know that's such a great opportunity to coach moms and dads on what they want to do, which is be a great parent, and to see and read their child and learn how to communicate with a child, an infant.
So if somebody's listening right now and thinking, you know what, I'm not the best parent. I'm trying to be, but I'm not. Where do they go to get help?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, places like the Kennedy Forum have some really good information about parenting and parenting skills. There are websites that you can read about parenting. I think, you know, we just need to acknowledge that everyone needs help, and that everyone, I had a home visitor. My sister came over. I didn't know what I was doing when I brought the baby home, and I was terrified. You know, everybody has that challenge. And so it's important, I think, to just give parents a break and accept that this is an effort that everybody needs some support in.
And your sister will come over if people need her. That's a way to get that done.
Actually, she's really good.
Is she good? All right.
You know, give her number out soon. Mention that when I had Michael 17, when I had him, I told my husband, my mother-in-law offered to come, and I said, no, this is just, we're going to bring the baby home. We're going to bond. It's just going to be us. And then later that night, I heard my husband on the phone, Mom, when are you coming over?
Right.
It's
exactly.
Just, boy, you don't know what to do. And they do a lot of consumer ed classes in high school. Why don't they do a parenting class?
I don't know. And really, you know, when you start to understand, and we find this all the time, when you start to understand how important it is for a baby to hear his parents' voices, not just mom's voice, but dad's voice, one of the most exciting things that you can see is a dad, right after delivery, standing on the other side of the room, calling out to his baby and having the baby turn his head to his father's voice. Mm. I mean, you can see grown men cry. Mm. And getting the idea and the understanding of how important it is to bond with your baby at those early years, and just eye contact, physical contact, soothing, a lot of it is instinct. But it's also, again, coaching and problem solving, especially as they get a little older, they get a little sassier. They keep getting sassier and sassier. And, you know, then they go to college.
the next day.
Exactly.
Right. But you think back, and I mean, Bill, you're sassy to this day.
Sure.
I mean, you were respectful to your parents.
Always.
But I was really sassy.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
I always had to sit in the quiet chair in kindergarten with the boys. You know, mainly it was like all the boys and Wendy. but, you know, different kids are different. We are talking to Diana Rauner, president of the Ounce of Prevention Fund, First Lady of Illinois. She's going to be speaking at the Kennedy Forum. Tickets are free, still available. Go to thekennedyforum.org. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And we are continuing to talk with Diana Rauner, president of the Ounce of Prevention Fund, which prepares children for success in school and in life. She's the First Lady of Illinois, and she will be speaking at the Kennedy Forum, which is taking place December 6th at the Hilton Chicago. Now, these are free tickets, but you need to register, and you can go to thekennedyforum.org. Diana, we were talking off the air about the Cubs. I had some friends on Facebook who took a picture with you and your husband and said, oh, look who's here at the Cubs game. You got to go to a few Cubs games.
It was such a treat. It was so much fun. And unfortunately, they didn't win all of them, but we did get to see them win a couple of times, and that was great.
Excellent.
And then the parade, you were on a bus.
Yes, and I've never seen, has anyone ever seen so many people in one place?
No.
So many happy people.
Yeah.
That was the amazing thing. So many happy people.
And even when it was over, everybody just kind of went about their business. I'm sure people at Union Station weren't happy when they had to wait about five trains to get on one to get home. But really, it was kind of like everybody was walking in a smiling haze that day.
Well, I think I just have huge respect for the Cubs organization and all the players. They're such gracious people. And really, they talk so much about team building, about positive culture, about positive thinking. It was such a delight to watch those guys play with smiles on their faces.
You get to meet several of the players. And the thing that strikes you when you meet these guys is you watch them on TV and they seem like grown men. But then you meet them and they're kids.
they're younger than my kids.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're so, I mean, the average age is what, 24 and a half on that
team? Something
like
that, yeah.
And they've got, you know, the older guys mentoring the younger guys. But you can just see some of these guys, I hope they stick around for a long time and become Chicago institutions.
Yeah.
Now they're 22, they're babies. But
I know.
They really are babies when you think about it. Bill, we're not getting any younger.
No, I guess not. I guess not. a real quick question. Today, obviously, is election day. So what goes through the mind of the family members as votes are being cast and then tabulated? It's got to be the most nerve-wracking day of the year, right?
Oh, well, you know, this one we were reflecting. This one's been pretty relaxed for me because, of course, my husband's not in the ballot.
Yeah.
Last year, last time I was convinced he was going to lose. So I was like, this is going to be great. We're going on a holiday tomorrow. That's, you know. I was in for a rude shock.
I was saying earlier, I want to be a fly sitting on Donald Trump's shoulder just because he's got to be freaking out. Hillary, too, but she seems to control herself a little bit better than he does. And I don't know if they've given Donald Trump Twitter back. I would tend to think,
not yet.
Not till after the election's over because he could ruin it with a crazy tweet. But yeah, it's I voted. I got my sticker. I'm proud, and I also have a stomach ache. I don't know what's going to happen later on today.
I don't know. I've actually sort of. I'm just sort of like floating above it and just thinking about other things. I focus on my work.
The way
focus
to be.
On the kids.
That's diplomatic.
The stuff I know how to do.
Well, anything you'd like to find out about the Ounce of Prevention Fund, here's the website, theounce.org.
Yes, thank you.
Also, definitely go see Diana speaking at the Kennedy Forum. This is happening December 6th, right before the holidays. I know you might forget. So go and register today. It is free, but you need to register. Go to thekennedyforum.org. Diana Rauner, so nice to see you again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Great to see you. We'll take a quick break. Bob Kessler has the news, and then there's a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.